This is an Envoice Media podcast. You're listening to Criminal Code, our story behind bars.
Welcome to our podcast, Criminal Code. I'm Tony, your host. We have Sam here as well, but we also have a very special guest. His name is Zoe.
Hey, everybody.
We actually have met in Morgantown, you know, in prison, and I was actually there first, and then I believe, Sam, you came in.
I believe he was there. I think Zoe was there first, yeah. And then I came afterwards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, and then we all met. We hung out a lot, formed pretty good friendships, seen a lot of crazy things. You saw in our first podcast, we were actually talking about the doctor who was washing his nuts.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, but Zoe actually is also one of the stars of Criminal Code, a cartoon we have coming out here in the near future. So wanted to bring him on here to talk about his experience. His experience is a little bit different than myself that I went through, and Sam as well. But again, Zoe, welcome.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
You know, happy to make it out here. I wanted to start off first in terms of, you know, what happened to you in terms of how you got into prison, and then we'll go from there. But wanted to share your story, and it'll give a good light too when the cartoon comes out and everything to get to know you.
All right. So basically, I got caught up in a conspiracy, in a wiretap conspiracy, and my phone got picked up off somebody else's phone. And it was just a brief conversation on something that we were supposed to be doing. So I ended up eventually pleading out to like 200 grams of a controlled substance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I ended up being in there with y'all. So it was like maybe a 4-year thing. I started off being on trial, well, waiting the trial.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have to turn myself in. They gave me home incarceration. So I had the bracelet around my ankle. I had to sit there for approximately 25 months. After 25 months, I started getting offers finally, because it was a long time. I didn't know how much time I was getting.
You had house arrest for?
Yes, 25 months.
Oh, man, okay. Well, that's definitely different than...
It was weird because I had my own house and they made me move out and I had to stay with my mother. And I haven't lived with my mother in years, and it was just like...
Was it pre-trial house arrest?
Yes, pre-trial. I couldn't leave the house for 25 months.
And then it was an indefinite period of time and they just said, okay, now it's time for you to...
They let me go to
self-surrender, though.
Yes. They let me go to sentencing. They actually gave me 6 weeks off so I could run around and get all my stuff together, and then I self-surrendered. And that's when I met you guys.
And then you self-surrendered straight to?
Morgantown.
Ah, okay. Now, is Morgantown, was that your first time or your second?
Morgantown was my first federal. I had went to state before, previously. Ah, okay. Like,
do tell, how was that
years
different?
Ago? It was way different, and I was younger, too. And it was more, I was in a totally different mind state than I was when I came in older. In my federal charge, like wanting to change and stuff like that. In my state, I was like, I didn't really care. I was still out there, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got into the stuff that was going on. Basically, in the state, was the same as the streets. It was the same type of rules inside. Mm-hmm. So I engaged into that type of stuff. But like I said, on my federal, I realized it's something got to stop. So that's when I started changing on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the difference between me is in the feds, I feel like it's more people trying to help you and show you different ways to change. In the state, it's just gung ho. Like, you in there having fun, doing all this stuff, unnecessary gambling. Like, I mean, it's the same thing in the feds, but it's like nobody's trying to really change in the state.
How long were you? How long was your state time?
I had a 9-year sentence. But where I'm from, I'm from Kentucky, so. We have parole. So I did 23 months, and I actually had got into a drug program similar to the one we was in.
Oh, okay.
But this was for state inmates. It's called SAP.
What's that stand for?
substance abuse program.
Oh, okay. And you got time off? Or?
Yeah, I got time off.
How long?
Not really time off. It gives you a good chance to make parole.
Oh, I got it, got it.
So it's like a real good chance to make parole if you do everything right and went through that class. And that's how I got out the first time.
What would be the, you know, because we never had a chance to talk about state because I only did federal, federal as well.
Yeah.
What would be the, it's got to be a difference. Was it different security?
Different security.
I know county's crazy, but.
Yeah, our county's real crazy. I actually could say our county's crazier than most of our prisons until you start going to the real, real serious ones. I went to a camp and I went to it's a facility when everybody's getting organized to go to where they're going to go to. And that's when they have all the inmates together. So no matter if you was minimum or maximum, you're still being housed in that same facility. So that was called the Rotary Farm. That was a little different. And, I actually went to Class D jails, too. So I didn't go to the real, real dangerous ones. I went to the ones where you can work in the community.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Is it like the minimum security version for the...
Yeah, minimum security.
Now, you self-surrendered for the feds. Yeah, now, the state, was there an actual,
No, the state was actually a lockup, a process, going back and forth to court.
So you were inside?
Yeah.
No time to plan?
No time to do nothing.
How did you, because it's different. I want to talk about that because at least when you self-surrendered to federal, you were able to make sure the fam's good, the kids are good. But what happens when you just get in, man?
When you just get locked up at first.
How do you do it?
And you don't have no plans or nothing. It's like it's horrible. And people who you think is really going to do stuff for you, they don't always do stuff for you. But on the same time, they don't really understand how time is in there, how you looking for every second, what are they doing? And you forgetting that they have real life out there.
Mm-hmm.
They still working, or they still got kids, or they still doing it, so they can't jump. You know what I'm saying? So when you don't have nothing prepared and you're depending on people, it's like real, real rough. It's slow. Sometimes, depending on your background, people might steal from you. You know what I'm saying? It's just... Now, me going in and having the 25 months to prepare, and they let me work. So I was able to still build bonds with my children, kind of, let them know what's going on, get all my bills paid, how I'm going to get it situated, stuff like that. So when you just get caught and you go in, you don't have none of it. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. It's pretty rough.
Well, when you did the state, though, were you married at time, kids, or no? Or was it just you?
No, I was young.
It was your own. Well, yeah, a little bit different.
I was in my 20s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
See, going in my federal, I was in my late 30s. So it was total difference.
Now, how long, when you got out, how long between that time and then when you had to go to Morgantown, or at least getting house arrest?
I got out in 2010 on my state charge. And I went back on some violations, too. So I went back a couple of times on a 9-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So I officially ended parole 2014, but I ended up getting indicted 2015 on the federal case. So as soon as I made parole, I probably had a gap between a year and a half, and instantly I was right back in trouble.
Okay. What happened then now? I mean, the federal one, we may have touched upon it, but how did you end up going? Because a lot of people, they get out, and then they end up doing something to get back in. What happened that second time around?
See, I didn't change the first time at all. From the 2014 to the 15, I didn't do nothing to work on myself.
Right.
I feel like I went to prison. I feel like it wasn't too bad. I feel like I can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But on the second one, I have three children, and I just had my two youngest ones. So now I was looking like it's kind of corny, you know what I'm saying? Right. Keep going back and forth to prison. So, that's when I started working on, changing myself on this prison sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And since we went to a low facility, I was able to, get in depth with myself. I didn't have to worry about running around and getting in a lot of fights because a lot of that wasn't going on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let me ask you something. So, I know Tony and I are Asian.
Mm-hmm.
You're black. So is it easier to go into prison as a black man fitting in versus Asians? Because I know, like, we had conversations where, like, when we went in, it was 1,100 inmates, and out of 1,100 inmates, there was only, like, seven Asians. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would definitely say it'd probably be easy coming in black. Because it's like, when I came in there, I didn't think I was going to know anybody at first. Because I know it's just people from all around the United States. But with me already doing state time, and I knew a couple people just, you know how you have your car, and they bring you in. And a car is like a community of your state, a couple states together when you're in federal prison. And they kind of come together as a family and take care of people. So you have like a Kentucky car, or maybe a Washington, D.C. car. It's different cars like that. So
is it by like cities, your region, and then also by race?
Yeah, because they introduce you to your homies. You know what I'm saying? And y'all being Asian, y'all might not have no homies. Like how right. You had it, you know what I'm saying?
Because when I went to prison, I had no car. No one came to me and was like, let me help you out.
I started to get, I was like, car.
So you came in independent. As soon as I came in, I got offered food, commissary, all this stuff.
Yeah, I had nothing.
I didn't
so it's like a
little different.
Yeah, I would say it's a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I didn't get offered anything.
I know, me too. I was like, man, I'm walking around like, oh shit,
people maybe are staring at me. Staring at everybody like this.
Shit, people are like, I thought I was in a zoo, man. I was like, fuck.
Man. But so then, you know, you get that 9-year sentence. What's going on through your head? It's a long time, man.
Man, when I first heard it, I didn't understand the parole.
But
nothing.
You only did.
Yeah.
You were only inside for how long?
Basically 2 years.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't understand it when I first got 9. I just heard 9.
Oh, I don't know what else I'd hear.
Yeah, me and my lawyer, we didn't have a good time, like, until he broke his hand.
a little sidebar talk.
Yeah.
can you please define 9 for me?
Yeah, I just couldn't understand a person going in his first time getting 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Possession of a firearm.
Right.
Which is actually legal in my state now. So I still don't understand it to this point.
Too bad they can't do that retroactive stuff, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That and marijuana.
Yep.
You know, type charges.
But also, like, you're talking about, like, in your first bid, you didn't really want to change, and you were younger, and you basically did the same thing and went back, right? And then you caught the federal charge. Like, I know you mentioned kids, but at what point did you, like, decide, like, okay, you know what? I got to change. How did your mindset change, and what caused that to change?
What caused the change when I was on home incarceration. And I sat there, like, for all them months and weeks, and nobody came to visit me. You know, I'm, like, a kind of popular person in my community. Like, I have a lot of friends and stuff. Like, people just backed up on me, you know what I'm saying? They just left me for dead. So at that point, that's when I started working on myself. Like, I'm going to change, because when I come back, this time I'm going to be better. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I really started changing, before even going into prison. I started writing stuff down, trying to read, you know what I'm saying, different books and stuff like that. And then, like I said, I had the kids. So basically, I sit there in the house trying to raise my 2 infant kids and reading and writing.
That's cool. Like, I've known you since 2018, or when we met. And, you know, I didn't know you prior to that. So, you know, I didn't know how you were, how you moved. But, like, I know when we were spending time together, you were always, like, wanting to learn. Like, you're, like, wanting to be a sponge, you know? Like, you're like, all right, tell me more. Like, how do I become this? How do I change this? And so I think that's how we kind of gravitated towards each other and, like, all of us here. And it was kind of like, okay, like, hey, you come from a different culture, different city, different everything. And, like, I come from different, and so does Tony. And, we kind of, like, we come from different backgrounds, though. Like, we kind of got together and was like, hey, you know what? Let's help each other out.
Yeah.
Show some love. And, like, it's a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, like, in terms of, like, let me ask you, like, afterlife, right? So, like, you did, like, 10 years. You were younger to whatever, like, 2010 to 2018. You were still, like, involved with all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, you were in the system. You were also, like, your core business was like moving drugs, right?
Yeah.
So like controlled substances and other stuff like that. Like what now, because I know like you're also like a very gifted writer and you I know you're working on a couple of books.
Yeah.
And what made you shift? Like what went from like dealing substances to like now focusing on what you're currently doing? And tell us what you're doing right now so that like, and tell us a little bit about like your life after, you know, as a felon or after prison and trying to make yourself better and as a mature person now.
Okay. One thing that actually helped me was, believe it or not, coming to Morgantown, because it gave me an opportunity to like meet guys like you. And I had met a different variety of people who was businessmen. And that was kind of like the difference between the state and the federal with me, because in the state, most people was drug dealers, you know, lower level stuff. So on the federal, when you in prison with people and you don't have a lot of time to do stuff, people talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And people start to educate each other. So when I got around different businessmen, like you said, I wanted just to be a sponge. Like, I remember you ordered me like 3 or 4 books every week, and I would just try to speed read them, like try to get as much knowledge I can get, because I didn't actually get a lot of time. So I'm like, I need to do it. That's why I was running around rushing. I'm like, I need to get all this stuff done, because I didn't think I would have a chance to be able to sit back, you know what I'm saying, for a nice amount of time and really recollect and get all my thoughts and stuff together. Getting out of prison was kind of rough, because like you said, you're getting out with a felony. It's not my first felony, so I already know how it is, but you have to put in extra applications when you're getting a job. Like,
yeah.
You can't just stop at one. Like, you got to go, you're a felon now, you know what I'm saying? Right. So you got to go harder than everybody else. Like, you got to call back and you got to have a strong mind, because sometimes you be like, I just don't want to do this no more.
A lot of rejection.
No, right. I might as well just go back and do what truth. I can do, like, because at the end of the day, my children's mother still need money. Like, I still got responsibilities, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But this time, I actually got 2 jobs, and that kind of helped me with the idle time, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But I still had the ambition of wanting to be an entrepreneur. So probably like 1 or 2 after we got out, I started a trucking company. It started off pretty okay, but I had a couple of things that kind of went wrong. It was like my first time really being an entrepreneur. So I went through that, and kind of the same scenario. When you start losing stuff, you get to thinking in your head, like,
right,
what other things I can do? You know what I'm saying?
I remember, because you kind of went down this rabbit hole for a little bit, because you got this loan for this truck, and then the truck broke down, and then all these things were happening. Yeah. You're like, man, I don't know if I can keep doing this. And I'm sure at that moment, you're like, oh, let's go back to what's easy for me and what I'm familiar with, right?
Yeah, exactly. But this time, I kept driving the truck. I sat and thought this time instead of making a rational decision, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
you did one of those, what are the RDAP thing?
RSAs,
right?
Yeah, rational self-analysis.
Exactly. Instead of making a very spontaneous decision and maybe making an irrational decision, you did a rational.
How'd that RSA go?
Yeah. I mean, it went kind of rough, because like I said, you still got responsibilities.
Right.
But I toughed it out this time, and stuff just started coming, like here recently, stuff been coming pretty good my way. I got a website coming out here shortly in the next week or two that I've been working on.
Is that the second? Said you had 2 things.
Yeah. What was the website called?
It's called Efficiency is Essential. It's a consulting website.
Okay.
Like for entrepreneurs and stuff to connect.
Efficiency is Essential?
Yeah, it's okay. Essential. Yeah. And I will have like courses on there where, like, you know, I've been in the trucking industry.
So. Right.
So I developed a dispatching course. I have a course on there where you can, if you want to dispatch and make side money, you can learn how to do it.
That's good.
I have different entrepreneurs that I'm working with, and they're putting their talents on my page too. So it's also a marketing course too.
Yeah, because like over the last like 5 years now, being in the industry, going through the ups and downs of the trucking industry, you've learned now, you're becoming that expert, right? Like,
yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
yes.
before you're like, oh, I'm so new at this and I'm just like learning. But yeah. like over 5 years now, you're starting to become that expert.
Yeah.
And now utilizing your skill sets and your knowledge to help others. And I think it's pretty cool, like setting up resources for other felons or even other people yeah. who are looking to be entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Good for you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. And one more thing I got into was the health industry. I'm invested into a health store with this woman. She makes smoothies and
I saw that, like pressed juices
and stuff
and,
like that. So I'm real big on working out and taking care of myself. So
you look good too.
Yeah, appreciate that. I know I came in when I first came in. I was pretty chubby. I don't know if y'all remember.
I remember. Well, he was the chubbiest.
I was. Yeah. Damn sumo.
Nah, you did a total a like 360, man. Like,
remember, what's his name?
Holly.
Holly.
Yeah.
Holly and Tony came in at the same time.
Yeah.
So when they self-surrendered, they were both in there. And I remember Holly telling me like, man, you don't even know. I was so scared when I was in there because yeah. this big dude was like 300 pounds and I thought he was going to eat me.
222.
Hey, Holly's
nah,
funny.
Nah, still
man.
Big though,
that's
man.
That's my buddy, man. He's funny.
Now, did you find though that going into the federal one that you had a state charge? I don't know what inmates know when they get in or not, but did you find that sped up your credibility in the feds, people knowing that you did time before, or did you ever use that?
No, nah, it didn't.
I would have said something like, hey, yeah, this is my first rodeo.
What happened with me, I had got a small federal sentence, and that kind of raises people's, like, why you didn't get a lot of time?
Oh, okay.
And when I first came in, I didn't have my paperwork. Well, I actually had it, but they sent it home. So, you know, it's kind of big in our community, like, if you told or not. So,
yeah, like a snitch, right?
Yeah. And, you know, in the RDAP program, if you get that stuff sent Ooh. In, you're going to get kicked out. You know what I'm saying? But I eventually got my stuff sent in. So I didn't get a lot of credibility until I got my paperwork because people don't really trust people without seeing what they got going on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so like when we went in with our 24 and 25-month sentences?
Yeah, people could have looked at you like, but now they know it's white collar.
White
so,
collar is less, you know,
yeah,
usually.
But drugs, it's really not good then to come they're in thinking with no 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest.
What? Especially if you're black and you got a short sentence.
Yeah,
you're like,
definitely told on
somebody.
If you're
white, it's different, right? Because if you're white, they're like, oh, he's white, so he got a short sentence.
Exactly, yeah.
But you definitely told on somebody.
Nah,
then.
For real. It can get rough.
Oh, then you threw that state thing around like it was no one's business. Yeah, like, nah,
I remember him carrying something around all the time. He's like, hey, look at this.
Nah, for sure. You got to have your paperwork in.
Oh, man. You know, so then you're done with your federal charge. I know when we were in.
Yeah.
Sam alluded to it, too. He was writing you were actually working on a book. I know I read some of it. Where is that? Where is that now?
Sitting on the shelf.
Sitting on the shelf. Is it ever going to be brought off the shelf?
I don't know, because I love writing, but I'm in a different space. Like, I would like to write a different type of book now. That book I wrote was on some energy that I really wouldn't put into the universe right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, okay. I know. I did read
that. So it kind of exercised my, you know, writing ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to go in a different, you know what I'm saying, direction.
Okay, it was darker. Yeah. I know I read it.
Yeah. And I really just did that to see how talented I was as a writer. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to write something different. Because I also had wrote an urban novel.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really want to put that out either. Like, it's different stuff I'd rather put out now with my talents. You know what I'm saying?
And you're working on something new? New now?
Kind of. I'm more so in my website. So I'm working on, like, writing stuff, like teaching stuff like that.
More of the versus positive.
Energy. Yeah.
The positive energy.
Yeah. And I would love to write a self-help book if I would. Like,
on
I would
what?
Like to go in that direction. One thing I would want to write about is the first year of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm doing, I'm starting to see a whole lot of entrepreneurs. That's what I do. I go around and hang around in my city, all the entrepreneurs, the smallest business people. And I see a lot of mistakes that they're making in the first year. And I went through the same stuff in my experience with the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to kind of like write something about that. I see people, they're spending their money as soon as it comes in. You know what I'm saying? So they basically created a business with, in all actuality, it's a job for themselves. They're not upscaling. because they're spending a lot of money before it's coming in, and I'm seeing the same problem. So that's kind of what I did for myself too. And I think I can help people because once you take so many L's, you start learning the right way. So
now, did you find, because we were just saying, you know, trying to find a job, mm-hmm. Felony on your resume is not actually the biggest. Yeah. It's not the biggest job applicant, you know, quality to have. But did you find when you were trying to go at your own, did your record ever get in the way? In terms of getting that established?
I think your record gets in the way on the type of job you might want. Mm-hmm. I don't think it gets in your way on getting a job. It's like you have to drop your ego. Like, you might not want to work at this certain type of job, but if that's going to keep the probation officer off you and that's going to help you feed your kids, like. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't go get a job that I really wanted, but I didn't have a problem finding just a regular factory job or something like that.
But then now, though, that you're starting your own thing, did you ever find that get in the way of, like, partnerships you try to develop?
No, not yet. Have any problems?
Yeah, because I know I had, you know, some issues that even, yeah, you know, relationship-wise, you know, not having that felony on your record is not, yeah, exactly like the greatest thing to, you know, have.
Yeah.
You know, so what's going to be next now that Zoe 2.0?
Next is I'm trying to really push this website.
Mm-hmm.
That's my main thing. And like I said, investing into these health supplies. And I just started a new venture. I don't think I told you. I just purchased my first ATM.
Okay. I think you're telling me about it last time. Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how it's going to go. Very interested in it. I want to give my kids a couple of...
The ATM business. I don't think I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah. See, that's the difference between white collar. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Was the qualifications to get into that hard? They ask a lot of questions.
That's one of the qualifications, though. You can't have no type of... money, like laundering or nothing.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, be kind of rough. But that's my plan, is focusing on them things. That's one thing I learned, just to get you two or three things and focus on them until you master them, and then try to move on out.
Yeah, I had a good time spending, you know, endless hours just talking, brainstorming, talking about hopes and families and, like, future. And, you know, it's a hard time for everyone, you know, because it not only affects you, but it also affects the people who are outside, you know. Yeah. So it might affect you being in prison, but it affects 10, 20, 30 people who love you guys, love us in the system. And it affects the whole family dynamics, you know.
Well, it's got to be different, too. When you did the state time, you had no responsibilities really on the outside. You do the federal time, you got woman, kids. How's that mindset? That's got to have been...
It's like a total difference, because now you're letting down
it
your
was
family.
Easier the first time around than the second time around, I gather?
Now, the first time, I had a child, too. I had one child, first child. But like I said, I wasn't in the mind state of even thinking about how I was letting my family down yet, like. Because I still had money, I was still sending money. So I'm thinking, as long as I sent money, it was okay. But it's actually the time. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, missing the gap of time with your children. Because I could see the difference between the gap that I had with my oldest daughter between the time I'm with my youngest daughter now. Mm-hmm. I could see the little difference of me not being there and me being there for one, and how I could change how they thinking. You know what I'm saying? So... That's probably the biggest thing.
That's cool.
What was the craziest thing you've seen in state? I'm actually curious because I've heard crazy stuff about being in the state.
Man, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff. Man, I've seen just people going there and just like totally change. It'd be somebody you'd be hanging with every day, and all of a sudden they get on the yard and they're going around, and, you know, homosexuality is big in there. Right. And nothing against her, nothing, but I was working out with this dude every day, you know what I'm saying? And, I never knew that's what he was into. And when we went to prison, like, as soon as he got there, mm-hmm. he was going into the rec room, the gym, and he was messing with a dude. It was kind of like one of the craziest things that I had, you know what I'm saying, encountered, because I was running around working out with
it. Did you walk in on it?
Nah. It's just somebody
slowly walk right back out the door.
And just told me, like, you know what I'm saying? So things like that. I didn't ever really go to the real serious crazy facilities.
Right.
I seen fights. I seen a lot of bad fights. Yeah, that's what I did see.
That was my biggest, actually, one of my biggest concerns was that I didn't know we were going to end up at a camp like that, but just getting into fights and the violence and stuff.
Yeah.
All you see on TV, you don't see no boring camp on TV.
No. Now, when I went to the Rotary Forum, that's the one I told you that was filled with the maximum and the minimum. Like, that's when I seen, like, a lot of bad fights. You know what I'm saying? But that's about the baddest thing that I've seen in prison is the fight.
The difference between maximum and minimum.
Yeah. Because you got people in there, like, they don't know what they face. They in here for murder, robbery, and then you might have just a drug dealer in there. So, you know what I'm saying? Their mind state is totally different. People get aggravated quick, and, you know, when they don't know how to talk it out, they do other things to work it out.
Now, did you end up getting back to Morgantown? Did you end up going to Morgantown for that RDAP program where we all met? Or did you just get transferred over there?
When I got sentenced, the judge said something about it. I didn't really know what he was talking about, to be honest. I was just basically waiting to say my speech to my family. Like, I couldn't even hear what he was saying at the time, you know what I'm saying? But when I got there, I had talked to my lawyer, and that's when they said that you can get in the RDAP program and get some time off your sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my whole mindset once I heard that. I'm like, I'm working to get in that program so I can get back home to my children.
Did you get in right away? As soon as you got to Morgantown?
Yep, I was there for probably maybe a month or two, and I got straight in the program.
Okay, you never messed up like I did.
Nah.
Well, it's good I messed up. I got more time to hang out.
But you got to understand, I've been to prison before, I kind of knew how to move in prison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, you're not going to know your first time.
To be real careful, too.
Yeah, I try to make sure there's not going to be a second a second time, you know, either. Well, you know, Zoe, you know, thank you for stopping on in here for Criminal Code. We've got the cartoon coming up.
Yes, sir.
Hope to have you in another few episodes. I know you'll be back out here again where we're going to have a bigger group talk.
Most definitely.
You know, so again, thank you for tuning in to Criminal Code. Again, I'm your host, Tony, here with Sam and Zoe, and we'll see you next episode. Thank you.
Peace.
Peace.